Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, February 23rd, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today we pick up in the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 36, and things are continuing to be very interesting in this story. This section of scripture today is about Pharaoh's dreams. He has two dreams, one about a cow or cows and one about heads of grain. And what I love about this story is Joseph finally has the opportunity to be in Pharaoh's presence because of the gift that the Lord has given him to interpret dreams by the Spirit of the Lord, by his help. He is able to go before Pharaoh, and we start getting a glimpse of why the Lord took him on this journey to Egypt. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing in a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man to put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country, to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. Today in the Psalms, we'll read Psalm 71, verses 1 through 16. And I love this psalm because it gives us lots of characteristics of God that we can then turn into prayer. And it also reminds us that God is with us from our mother's womb all the way to the point of old age. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone, for my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. We turn now to the book of John. Today we're in John chapter 7, verses 14 through 31. And I was a little confused because it says Jesus teaches at the festival. And I was like, wait a minute. Yesterday we read about the fact that Jesus said he wasn't going to the festival and then he went up secretly. So what is going on here? Well, when I'm confused, oftentimes I ask others and I look in an ESV study Bible or the Life Application study Bible in my NIV. And today in the ESV study Bible, it says this. It says, Jesus' statement, I am not going up to the feast, should not be taken as a mistake by John or a falsehood by Jesus, even though John then records that Jesus did go up to the feast in verse 10. The Greek present tense in verse 8 can legitimately have the sense I am not now going, indicating that Jesus did not go up to the feast in the way that the brothers suggested, for they wanted Jesus to manifest himself to his contemporaries for secular reasons. So in other words, the brothers want to see him do his thing. You know, they don't believe him and they want him to go to Jerusalem when all the people will be there and to proclaim his glory. But Jesus is always about giving the Father glory. So he says, I'm not going with you right now. And then he goes up secretly, and at the right time, he goes into the temple courts and he begins to preach about the glory of God. Starting with verse 14. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believed in him. They said, when the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man? Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I want to read one more note from the ESV Study Bible about Jesus' time. It is in reference to verse 30, which says, so they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Because his hour had not yet come shows Jesus' strong awareness of God's providential direction of the circumstances of his life. His enemies could not capture or harm him until the hour of his arrest, crucifixion, and death, as ordained by God. God the Father would not allow these things to happen until the earthly ministry of Jesus, or God the Son, was complete. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus as our Lord. Thank you that in the fullness of time, he was born of a woman and he came to be one of us, fully God and fully man, never sinning, giving of himself so that we might be restored to you through his life, death, and resurrection. We praise you, Jesus, for we can come to you, the Good Shepherd. We praise you that in the face of our own sin, You bring righteousness. We praise you that you are our refuge and our strength. We praise you that when the evil one assails us, you call us to yourselves and to yourself, and you say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence with us. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus so that our sins might be forgiven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us and comforting us by the words of Jesus, who did not come for his own glory, but came so that the Father might shine through him. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.